welcome to another episode of Grey's Academy, your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast on the whole internet. And wow, we are excited hosts today because we are ready to chat about this episode. I am one of your hosts, Kelsey.
And I'm one of your hosts, Carmen, and it is a beautiful day for a podcast. And I don't know that I'm actually ready to talk about this episode yet.
What a journey. Well, that's a bummer because we're going to.
Oh, right. We physically
have to. Sorry.
As if it's our job, we need to do this.
Good news, I'm still sick, so everything's going really well for me in 2025.
You're getting it all out of the way now. You're going to have easiest postpartum in the world. You're going to have the easiest delivery. You're getting it all out of the way now. Get out of here, bad karma.
We're supposed to be hit by the polar vortex on Friday, so we're going to have an insane amount of snow for us, which is like 5 to 8 inches, which is a lot for Tennessee. We don't normally get that. So I anticipate everything will be closed. So we did get though, so now we have a sled so we can, our children can sled.
Also, isn't it the polar bear vortex?
Nope.
Doesn't every city get a polar bear?
No.
Oh. I must have read that wrong on some sort of Wikipedia page.
I doubt you were reading anything. But I hey, do I actually reading it on Wikipedia.
I do read a lot. Although I am, listen guys, I have been cruising through Private Practice. I have watched another episode.
Oh my God. I cannot express to you how much we are railing on you on Discord in both the chats with and without you for not being able to watch this show.
What Grey's episode is the crossover?
Oh, like 4 episodes for right now. So.
Okay, four weeks. Okay. So here's the thing. My train ride, the Metra, is like 20 minutes, 25 minutes. So between the time that I need to get the tickets and like to actually start making my way out of the train to get to like walk out towards Union Station, I can get like one episode done in a full day. But I do have to, because I'm taking notes, so it is still a little bit challenging.
You weren't taking notes.
No, I am. I'm taking notes, but it's not a lot. I'm trying to like really. I'm putting small things to remind myself like what's going on. But I did finish the wedding episode, and I think I might be 2 episodes past that or now or so. So
still in season 3, so you still have all of season 4 and half of season 5 to get through.
Totally. Yeah, I can do this. I can do this.
You're going to have to do more than one a day at this point.
Oh.
When I gave you the warning, it was less than one a day. It's now more than probably 2 a day at this point.
I see where the confusion lies.
Yes, the confusion lied in anyone thinking that you would do what you were told.
It's not as good as Grey's. I'm not.
That's fine. You still have to do it.
It's hard, Kelsey.
It's literally watching television. It's not hard.
Oh, it's
so exhausting.
You
know, yesterday I watched an entire series. A limited series on Netflix. It was like 6 episodes. It was quite good. It was called Missing You. Would recommend. Watched all of it yesterday.
Guys, I'm sorry. I'm trying.
He's not.
I am trying. I'm trying more than zero.
Well, we had a delightful conversation on Discord about maybe doing a video where we force you to do the period pain simulator.
I don't like that idea.
Yeah, well, we decided that we should do it anyways.
Well,
and we
I said
Jessica would certainly be on board. And someone said that you could have the pain and Jessica would be asking you to do like basic tasks whilst you're experiencing the pain.
I'd be open to doing that as a full pay-per-view. So anyone who, not just Patreon, anyone who knows me is welcome to join in and pay to watch that. And it's just a live stream of me for a day.
Yeah.
Including sure. On the toilet when I go poop.
Right. It does mess with your poops.
Oh, I don't want that.
Because it's
your abdominal
muscles.
You know what else messes
muscles
with your poops? Chili.
Living. Watson's having
chili.
Some unpleasant poops right now, and I'm like, what did you eat? Like nothing. I watch you all the time. You ate nothing.
Oh boy. We're recording on our friend Mark's birthday. So happy birthday to Mark. Leah, when you hear this, go ahead and shout him out. Does Emily listen? Emily listens to this?
I don't know. I think Ricky does.
Well, shout out to Ricky, who also had a birthday, but that was yesterday. And shout out to Kelsey, who has a birthday coming up in a couple of months.
A couple of months. Do you remember when my birthday is? Michael's birthday is next month.
Your birthday is August 17th.
7th.
Damn it.
You're just constantly close. Constantly close.
Horseshoes and hand grenades, baby.
Matters so
much. We got any shout-outs?
I do want to say, well, before we do our shout-outs, oh my gosh, I'm just like heartbroken for all the people in California affected by these fires. They are crazy.
Yes, it's insane. 100-mile-per-hour winds.
They're doing so much. Yeah, they can't contain it because they can't fly the helicopters, because that's normally how they contain wildfires, a large part of how they contain it.
Yeah.
And there's just so many firefighters working hard and so many people being displaced from their homes and just losing everything. And of course, because insurance in this country is a fucking nightmare, on like January 1st of this year, a whole bunch of insurance companies in California said, we're not going to cover fire damage anymore. Like how in Florida, everyone's like, we won't cover hurricane damage. It's super fucked up. But so I know there are like, it's still kind of evolving. There are some really like good resources to keep an eye out on and like to donate for. And I know a lot of large companies like hotels and Airbnbs and VRBOs are stepping up and kind of offering shelter to people forced to evacuate. And I just hope everyone's staying safe, and I hope they're able to find a solution soon, but it's devastating.
Yeah.
Just so much so quickly.
The thing that always, every time one of these pops up, is like how they start. And it sucks when, it sucks the most when it's someone who's being
a turd,
like ignorant. And it's, I remember there was one that was a, like a gender reveal party that involved fireworks. Yeah. And it set off this huge blaze, right? Like that one, like you're just being a jerk, but it's tough when it's just, it's so dry. It's like nature is just saying, a fire sounds good today.
Yeah. Well, I mean, from what I've been seeing, California's essentially been kind of like a powder keg for a while, because they typically don't have a lot of rain in this area, and it doesn't get like super cold. It's not super hot or anything, but it's just dry. And then the winds have just been picking up so much. It could have just been, you know, anything that could have evolved just too quickly. So our hearts go out to those affected. If you are a listener in California, we are sending you so many good vibes. Please reach out and we'll share whatever resources we can. I hesitate to just share, like, 'cause so many are coming up so quickly. I'm like, I want to make sure they're valid before I'm just like, oh, go to this place and this place. 'Cause I don't know yet. 'Cause it's, unfortunately there are people who like take advantage of the situations. But I'm sure like the LA fire department is probably like a good starting point. I know they're reaching out to like fire departments all around the surrounding areas to like try and get more people in, because these firefighters have been working like tirelessly, and there's only so many of them.
Yeah,
so it's just crazy.
Luckily for us, global warming,
cold. So yes, just our thoughts. Just keeping an eye on the progression and just hoping that there's some kind of something soon where things change, because it's just like the wind is just, I think, really the thing that's spreading it, but making it difficult to do the normal things they do to maintain it or contain it, rather.
Yeah.
It's very sad.
Goodness.
And I think also there's a large misconception that anytime something like this happens in California, oh, it's like just rich people, it's just celebrities. There's a lot of people. The area that this is spanning is so wide, and it's just such a diverse.
It's every demographic. Diverse, yeah. It's everyone. Everyone's affected.
It's really all over the place. So it's truly like a lot of people, and it's just so sad when you, like, I know everyone's very quick to be like, oh, it's just possessions, like those can be replaced. And that is true, but still, like, it's like your whole life essentially gone in moments. So
yeah,
two things can be true at once.
Yeah. Jess and I actually had, it's ironic, this conversation was sparked by that movie Carry On with Jason Bateman and young Elton John. Egerton, mm-hmm. right? Taron Egerton. And one of the things we talked about is like, if there is a fire, like, what's our escape plan? How do we get out of the house?
Yeah.
Also, if the fire is growing and it can't be stopped, like, which we, it actually prompted us. We have a, what's it called? A fire extinguisher now?
Yes.
Yeah. We went.
Michael's dad has always been like adamant that we have like several. We had several in Florida too.
We did not. We didn't have a single one in Florida, and we went 2 years owning this house and didn't have a fire extinguisher, and now we do. So we have one now, still in the package, unopened, which is really helpful for a fire. But yeah, like planning our escape route. But also, speaking of like, yes, it's possessions, but there are certain things that
are irreplaceable.
Yeah. Like there are, I don't want to say like picture albums, but there's what did you say?
I said, if you say a guitar, I swear to God.
Well, actually, one Shocking. Of my guitars.
The one you built?
No. My white one. My white and gold one. Mm. The only reason is like there's so many things that I have done with my life with that guitar. And that would mean a lot to me. I would want to, if possible, I would get our wedding rings because we don't wear them every single day. You know, things that have sentimental value that you can't just replace. I'm not going to go back in and be like, quick, I got to unscrew the tonal and carry it outside. Jess, help me get the treadmill from the basement. Like, but still, if the house was destroyed, even if there's insurance, people in California, Florida, wherever these natural disasters occur, there are things that will never get replaced. A one for one. Yeah, you'll get
it's also
a
just like
value,
a life altering.
Like, yeah, and then you're displaced, like, and it's like you're living out of a hotel or you're living with friends. Like, it's just a lot of mental
and then like
anguish
when it's
that
something like
too.
This or like a hurricane where so many people are affected. When you do have insurance, it's like such a backlog for them to get through everything filed and everything. So it's just like, it's a lot. And I just wish you feel so helpless when you're watching from far away. I do, like, you know, I have friends and people I follow that live in LA and like, they're all safe and some of them evacuated. Some of them are in areas that don't yet need to be evacuated or don't think they'll have to be evacuated. But it's just like, you just feel helpless when you are far away and you just like, what do you do? Like, well, even if you're there, it's like, what am I going to do? Like, I'm not going to fight a fire. Like,
right. Well, they're abandoning, people are abandoning their cars and they have to use these like dump trucks and stuff to push these cars out of the way. Which is crazy to think about
too.
We're
just keeping an eye out for like resources. Hopefully once it gets contained, there will be like an abundance of resources where we can reach out and like donate, and share more information that way. Anyways, we're going to pivot now and talk about this episode, which is also very emotional.
Yeah, this is like the physical embodiment of a forest fire.
This is a lot. Okay, did you have anything else before we start the episode?
I want to shout out all of the people who shared our reel.
Promo reel, yes, thank you.
Our promo reel on their Instagram stories. Anyone who is listening to this who feels compelled to do that again and tag us and tag the website link, we very much appreciate it. The website is going to kind of like grow and evolve over time, but we're very proud of it. And we want to shout out our dear friend Dylan, who did the website.
Yes,
can't thank you enough.
He did an incredible job.
Yes. His wife, Karina, does the Morning Cup of Murder podcast. So I know we've talked about them a lot, but we are big fans of not just their podcast and what they do as a media team, because he does all of her editing and all of her website and stuff as well. But just them as people, like, they're just really freaking good people. So shout out to Dylan and Karina. So Really, really thank you for just being class act humans and Dylan for making our website. So that was it. I'm ready to talk about an episode, dude.
Okay, let's talk about an episode. What an episode it is. This was the mid-season premiere for season 8. So if you'll recall, the last episode was like mid-November. Then we had to wait 6 weeks. It was torturous. This episode,
I can't even imagine. Came out
6 weeks later. So this is the 10th episode of the 8th season. Is episode 158 overall, and it is called Suddenly.
Suddenly is a song.
Sorry, and that's a song. Sorry.
Yeah, thank you. I was like, when is it coming? When's it coming? Suddenly, the song by Billy Ocean is from 1985. March. In the UK, May 3rd, 1985, and March 1985 for the United States. So this is written and it's co-written by Billy Ocean and Keith Diamond from the original. The album is also titled Suddenly. So the song here did do very well internationally. So it reached as high as 15 in Australia, 7 in Canada, 28 in Finland, 4 in Ireland, 23 in the Netherlands, 38 in the New Zealand, 4 in the UK. It reached as high as number 4 in the US Billboard Hot 100, number 1 in the contemporary Billboard charts. And then in West Germany, it reached number 50. So the song did very well. The song for me, you guys, it is objectively, I would say it's probably like a 3.5, 4. Pretty decent song. Not my cup of tea. So subjectively, it is going to be a 2.1. It did not make it to my iTunes library, but by no means it is it the worst the song that I've ever gotten to listen to for a title track on this podcast. So with that, not in the iTunes library, but it is still a good song. Kelsey, take it away. I'm done talking about a song.
Okay. This episode was written by Stacey McKee and directed by Ron Underwood. And it aired January 5th, 2012. We're in 2012 now. Oh my God.
Wow.
Yay.
Only it aired 13 more years to go until we're in the present.
It aired 12.12 million views. So, makes sense last week again, or last episode was quite the cliffhanger. I think they were really bumping those numbers by being like, we're not going to tell y'all what happened.
I need to know what was in the promo. That's what I need to know.
I did watch it. It was, a lot of it was kind of recapping last week, and then they have, like, they cut to Christina, like, obviously, it's a when she's about to tell Teddy. She's, like, upset. That was really kind of, like, the main thing. A lot of it was just kind of recapping, like, remember this? What will happen next?
Remember Star Wars?
Yeah.
Actually, we got an opening that had a flashback. When was the last time we had a flashback montage?
It's been a long time since we had a recap, like a previously on Grey's Anatomy. And every single thing on the previously on was from the last episode except for the Ben and Bailey such stuff.
Right.
Which was like one of those, like, well, I wonder if they will be in this episode.
Oh, they are. Say?
And then, but yeah, the beginning of this episode was very Grey's with like the flashing around to like what was kind of happening at the end of last episode. So, yeah, it's very, very drama.
Yeah.
This episode is actually a lot of terrible and then one nice thing at the very end. That's it. It's just so much terrible. And then one good thing at the end.
I mean, like, you've got...
That's just what the whole episode is.
A family with a dead grandma and dead parents.
Mm-hmm.
You've got...
On the girl's birthday.
On the girl's birthday, which was a twist. Whoa. And then you've got the obviously the whole Henry dead thing. Yeah. And randomly they sprinkle in Kepner being the butt of yet another joke, and she just has to take it. Like, guys, she's not that, her voice is not that annoying. Okay.
I disagree. I've never loved her. I really thought Christina's impression was spot on. This is mean, but this impression is spot on.
She just needed a diversion.
It wasn't like she wouldn't have done that if it was any other situation. Okay, so a couple things. First, I had someone, I cannot remember who, and I am so sorry, messaged me, I think it was Jane, and say, maybe we could read the voiceovers for each episode, like at the beginning of each episode, because oftentimes it's kind of something that's happening, but you're not necessarily listening to it because it's very interspersed with the things that you're actively watching. And they're really not that long. So we're just going to try it. And if you hate this, you can tell me. And if you love it, you can also tell me. And I'm by you. I don't mean Carmen, but Carmen, you can also have an opinion on it, I guess.
Okay.
But I care more about the listener's opinion, respectfully.
That's fair. That's fair.
So I'm going to read the Meredith voiceover. And this is the way that the website I'm going to read it from, it's the whole thing. So it's, but what she says at the beginning and the end, all as one monologue. So it says, victims of a sudden impact are some of the hardest to treat. It's not just the collision that injures them. It's everything after. The centrifugal force, the centrifugal, I am so sorry. Wow. The centrifugal force keeps them moving, tossing them from vehicles, throwing them through windshields, slamming their internal organs into the skeleton. Their bodies are injured over and over again. So there's no way to know how much damage has actually been done until they stop. You can't prepare for a sudden impact. You can't brace yourself. It just hits you out of nowhere, and suddenly the life you knew before is over forever. So that's the whole monologue.
I hated it. I think it was terrible. I'd like to give you some feedback.
Okay, cool. I didn't write it, so.
Oh, no, just you.
Oh, okay. Well, that's because I mispronounced
centrifugal force.
Also, I'm still sick and I'm pregnant, so leave me alone. But yeah, it is. The point that the Jane was making was it gets lost in the episode, which is fair because I watched this episode maybe 6 hours ago, and I definitely wasn't I very rarely, like, they don't really stand out that much, but they're always good. Like, they always tie in really well with
and
the
episode. Set the tone. They they convey kind of like, this is the meaning, this is our North Star of the episode,
and you always like know if it's going to be like, if someone else is doing the voiceover, they're like, oh, something else is happening this episode, like, what is it going to be? So it is a good storytelling tool. So I think we'll probably kind of try and tie those in more and talk about those a touch more as well. Obviously, they're talking about the horrendous traumas that everyone's dealing with. And then at the very end, when it's like, your life is, the life you knew before was over forever. That's true in the negative sense, but also in the positive sense, because clear spoilers, now Zola's back. Hurrah, hooray.
Hurrah, hooray. I knew
last
it.
Episode,
I called
you
it.
You did go, I don't think they're getting Zola back.
I think what you heard me say, I don't think they're not getting Zola.
Interesting. I don't think that's what you said. Simply because it's not.
Can I also just, I know that there's not much to talk about on that storyline, but did you know that the name of the musician who sings the song when they get Zola is named Zola?
Yes, because I watch it with the
subtitles.
The subtitles, and I was like, oh.
I would never have known.
It was like Zola Jesus, and I was like, oh, how interesting.
I believe it's pronounced Jesus. Zola Jesus.
I believe it is, could be pronounced Jesus or Jesus Jibis.
Or Yesus. Zola Yesus. Hold on. Speaking of the soft J, have you heard of like these instant concentrated coffees? I believe the brand is like Javy, Javy.
No, but I know people named Javy.
Well, I started calling it the other day. I was like, ooh, can I get some of that Javy? And like, that work? And someone was like, what are you saying? And I was like, the Javy. Can you pass me the Javy over there? And they're like, you mean the Javy? And I was like, you say tomato, I say Yavi. And we had a good laugh at it.
Yeah, that's the thing where people are like, I wonder if he's being ironic, like when you were saying anal.
In the annals of history.
Yep.
That was a mere misunderstanding. It's like when people say you got to nip that in the bud. I spent a lot of my life.
Wait, did you see me sent you that today?
No.
I literally sent you a meme about that today on Instagram.
Oh, that's really?
Funny. Yeah.
Oh, no.
You'll have to.
But I spent most of my adult life until like probably 2019 thinking it was nip it in the butt.
Yes.
Because you're nipping
the
butt.
A lot of people
butt.
Do. What butt? What the butt of what?
The butt
what are you
of
nipping?
The
what
person
you should
you're
not be nipping like people's butts.
Well, that might be the problem. I was nipping butts.
That would be a problem. You should
I
be
was
in
nipping,
jail.
I was nipping and tucking butts.
Okay.
Tucking and rolling doobies. Anyway, Zola's back. I'm very happy. I called it. I knew she was coming back. Never had a doubt in my mind, and no one can tell me otherwise.
Shocking.
There is a chance that maybe there was a seed of doubt last week, but all doubt has been erased since then.
There was definitely doubts earlier in the season, too, when it was like, because we just went 10 episodes, basically, with them like not having her. So there were times in the season where it was not the main plot point, and you were like, well, they must not be getting her back then, because it's very stretched, longer than a lot of other storylines.
Yeah, but Janet didn't even say anything. She just dropped off
she
this baby like
she's
a stork.
Yours.
Oh yeah, I did forget about that.
She didn't
it's one
say
of the challenges of watching these episodes
specific
for the
word. Paying attention.
Yeah. Well, actually, I'm sure that my notes have it, but right now we're riffing, and I am not looking directly at my notes, so I'm so sorry.
Riffing. It's I might forgive you. Okay.
So
yes, now that we've discussed the one happy thing, I do want to say credit to Derek because he is doing a good job of like caring for Meredith in this episode.
Yes.
In the midst of the chaos. But then at the end when they're at home, he says, "We'll be okay, just the two of us, if that's what you want." And I feel that he's being genuine.
I also agree. I think he's being genuine.
And she doesn't really respond. She just kind of sits with it, and then they get the baby, so it's fine. But I did feel that was a very positive moment for Derek. He has some shitty moments as a friend in this episode, but as a partner, I feel that he is being very supportive in this episode.
Well, imagine if he didn't. If he said, man, this sucks, and it's all your fault, and I'm going to double and triple down now that I've had more time to think about it. And then Zola comes in, and he's like, oh, I was kidding.
Well, I just think it's less of like, this is all your fault, and more of just like, I would love to potentially revisit children later on down the line, if that is something that we can get to together. But it would be a bummer if he was like, this is 100% your fault and I hate you and I'm leaving you. And then they were like, here's this baby. Like, oh no, not again.
Yeah, that would not be good. But luckily that's not the case.
Yes, they played him a little better in this episode than normal.
Well, about time.
Yeah. Okay.
Derek was due
for
a win. So
now that we've talked about the one happy thing in this episode, which terrible thing do you want to talk about first?
I think let's talk about everybody's favorite thing in the world to imagine is a shard of glass in the eye. Let's talk about the car crash people.
It was too much. It was too much eye.
It was a focus directly onto the eye.
For so long. And they kept cutting away and cutting back. And I was like, it's too much. You're showing me so many angles. And I also was like, I know that Carmen is also hating this.
Yeah. So I've got very sensitive eyes. And I know eyes like trigger something in the human brain where it's uncomfortable to watch. I physically tear up. If I see someone just putting drops in their eyes, I'm physically tearing up.
I can't do eye drops.
Or like
watching people put contacts in. I'm like Rachel in that episode of Friends where they have to like pin her down to give her eye drops.
Yeah.
I've never
had to do eye drops, knock on wood, in my life. And if I did, I would say just take them out. I'll go blind. Just take them.
Well, I had...
Obviously, that's ghoulish overkill. I don't
Scarlet
want my eyes taken away.
Scratched my cornea.
Oh, yeah.
That was very unfortunate. That was the best eye drop of my life because it was instant numbing. And it was some of the worst pain that I've ever experienced. So that when the eye drop went in, it instantly numbed it. I was like, everything is glorious again. And then the eye doctor put essentially a contact that acted as a Band-Aid on, because obviously when you blink, it's like, it makes it impossible for your eyeball to heal if it's scratched. So then I had to leave that on for 48 hours and go back to the eye doctor. And it was, when she put it in, it was fine. Trying to get it out, probably one of the most embarrassing moments of my life. Like, I could not hold still. I could not keep my eye open. She was literally like, you have to keep your eye open. I was like, I know that. You don't have to tell me that. Like, me, it's not that I don't know that. It's that I can't do that. I'm so sorry. I cannot do this. It took a long time. I agree with you. I don't know how people do contacts.
Yeah. No, thank you.
And your wife's right, out here doing it on the reg.
She's doing eye drops and what's it called?
Contacts.
And man, yeah, she's got all of it. Although, like, I guess I don't know. I guess it's fine. Like, you could get the LASIK and there's like recovery times with that. But man, yeah.
But, you're not out of it. Like, you're awake for LASIK.
Yeah, I don't think I could do that.
No.
Luckily, I don't need to.
I can barely be awake when I go to, like, get my teeth cleaned at the dentist. That is too much for me.
Yeah, I don't know what I would do if that was the case. I also, if I ever needed to do, like, cornea surgery, or if I had, like, eyeball cancer, because I think you're awake for those, too. They just numb you.
It depends, because
I would need a full anesthetic.
My grandmother had her corneas replaced, which is weird to me, because I'm like, so you got, like, a dead person's eyeballs.
Yeah.
I'm confused. She was all the way asleep for that. But then when you have, like, cataracts removed, I think you're not all the way asleep. It's like it's a different level of anesthetic.
Yeah. Also, I hate having to make the choice between a cataracts. It's like, do I go with the cat or do I go with the axe?
I just, like, it's fine to not say things sometimes. It's, like, really okay.
Get it? Cataracts. Cataracts. We're going to talk to us, capitalism. Tell us about how great we are. Sell us some things, capitalism.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
And we are back. Thank you. Thank you, overlords. Thank you, BlackRock.
Continue to do this podcast with this man.
It's okay.
It's not.
But if you had to choose, would you choose the cat or the axe?
You're saying axe, like A-X-E. Is that what you think it is?
No, it's not. It's cataracts. Like a CTS.
Like an act. Like I'm acting a certain... Okay, I just want to make sure that you understand that. It's important to me that you know that.
No, I know that.
Hogwarts isn't real, right? It's important to me that you know that.
Okay. Also, shout out to Katya, who shared that you can, like, look at AI
Spotify
creates a quote.
It's apparently, like, randomizing quotes for the episode. So if you're listening on Spotify, I guess you can... like pause it and go to share it and it will like give a random quote that is probably something just absolutely absurd that I have to guess Garmin has probably said. So,
well, I want you to know how proud I am that the quote that generated it was, I was about to go full Wicked Witch of the East on that person or to you or to whoever.
No, it was not. It was Derek, I think.
Oh, on Derek. Yeah, that makes sense. All right. Let's actually talk about things. Let's Let's talk about
the car crash.
Brain matter on the ground.
Well, first, yeah, they get out of the car, or they get out of the ambulance, rather. I truly didn't remember how quickly that resolves in there at the hospital. I was like, I know they get to the hospital, but I wasn't sure how long they're in the field. So it was nice that it was pretty pretty quick. So they're there. They have Lily climbs out of the car and is basically unharmed. Like, obviously she's beaten up and scratched up, but she's fine. The mom is not good. Grandma's basically already dead. They kind of assess everybody so they can move them out of the road. Grandma is already dead because there's gray matter on the ground. She's like not moving. It's not, there's nothing they can do. They're in the middle of the road. Dad is in and out of it, but doing okay. Mom is like not super conscious. Sister has the shard of glass in her eye and a low pulse. And then the dad's like, where are my kids? And they're like, we've got the girls here. And then he's like, what about Michael? And they're like, oh, fuck, there's another kid somewhere. So they...
Damn it, Michael!
Literally. So Meredith has also handed the baby to Lily so that she can be helpful, because obviously Lily is not a doctor and Meredith is. So she's got Lily holding the baby and doing the little bag for it. She runs around to the other side of the car and sees that Michael is trapped under the car. So she's like trying to move him, but she can't because there's a car on him. And then Alex sees it like lights coming around the curve and he's like, fuck, Meredith, get off the street. You're going to die. And she's like, instead, I'll do jumping jacks and hope this car stops in time. Luckily, obviously, it's the ambulance that was on its way anyways. So
coming to a
fine.
Planned stop. But it makes you wonder, would anyone have stopped in time? No,
what else?
I don't think so.
What would it have been?
Because that curve, the way they looked at it, they panned that whole shot, it looks like a pretty sharp curve.
Well, and the guy said in the last episode, the guy driving their ambulance said that they're at the top, they're like at the crest of a hill and on a curve. Which, like, we have a lot of those here. Look, they have lowered speed limits and people aren't following them, so.
Yeah, I guess I also am wondering how that curve had gotten, like how the crash was so intense, because you got to think you're coming around a curve, it's hard to get that kind of force.
Well, who knows, it's raining, it's dark,
you should have had to reduce
there,
speed.
You don't expect there to be an ambulance sitting in the middle of the road. Your kids are all in the back seat probably yelling at each other.
You'd also think that maybe they have those flashing triangle things that they could have put on the other side of the curve.
The curve.
I realize that I said that kind of weird.
The Alex curve.
You know, sometimes, Kelsey, you can just not say things that come to your mind.
Yeah, see how you laughed first, though, because mine was funny.
Okay.
Anyways,
mine
well,
is
he put
22.
Out codes,
you're just actively, you're actively you're trying just, to dim my light. You're trying to dim my light.
Well, someone should.
All right, talk about Alex Karev. Cones and the
shit. Well, I was just gonna say they put out the cones. I don't know, did they have the flashy lights things just on every vehicle in 2011? They probably did. That wasn't that long
you'd,
ago.
But you'd imagine
it was a long
ambulance.
Time ago. It was 14 years ago. Yeah, I don't know, but they did. I'm sure they had like a flare gun. That's just not really helpful in this situation.
Unless they're constantly shooting it off, like.
Yeah. So. Anyway, so it's another ambulance. Yay. So far, only grandma's dead. At this point, what did you think the survival rate of this family was going to be?
Just the girl.
I thought just the sister? Wow. That would have been even worse.
I'm like, happy 18th birthday. Everyone in your family is dead. Which we didn't know was her 18th birthday. But yeah, I mean, the girl.
Well, the
with
dad
the-
says something like, oh, she didn't want to go camp. She wanted to hang out with her friends for her birthday, but. It's in the midst of a lot of chaos, so you don't really have the details on what he's talking about.
Yeah, I thought actually Michael, when she started to like lift up the ambulance piece and try to get him out, I thought he was going to die, like, because you're not supposed to do, like, you can't tell.
Well, because, like, oh, this is holding his blood in or whatever.
Yeah, I thought he was going to bleed out and die right then and there. The girl with the shard of glass in her eye, I thought for sure that's puncturing brain. Obviously, the grandma's brains are on the ground. I don't remember what was going on with the mom at the time exactly, but dad and mom, I'm like, yeah, something's going to happen here.
Yeah. So they get to the hospital and luckily everyone's like been called. So everyone's like, Alex can immediately take the baby to the NICU. Arizona's waiting. And then the family is kind of broken up in the trauma bays so that they can be treated. So Derek and Mark are waiting for the girl with the glass in her eye. Owen, Richard, and Callie are treating the dad. Bailey and Meredith are treating Michael. And the mom immediately is just like basically having a code team because she's borderline DOA anyways. So Lily watches the mom die. So that's a bummer. And the dad and sister and brother all need surgery, obviously. It's just a lot of chaos. And a lot of tensions are high. It does feel like Bailey and Meredith are fully reconciled now.
I'm getting the vibes that they've put their past behind them.
It does feel that way. I was like, I don't, there was kind of like, oh, we'll work together, but we'll begrudgingly. And then it was like, oh, wait, I just respect you again, which is fine. I'm fine with it. I just felt like we were having little baby steps and then it was resolved, which is fine again. Sometimes that's what happens. Sometimes you just wake up over things in life.
That's what happens
when other people do.
When your mentor yells at you on a baseball field, you know, it just happens. Makes things work.
Just how it works.
So, sorry, I don't remember where we had left off with this particular thing, but that scene where Callie's in and she's like setting the dad's pelvis, and Weber and her are going back and forth. I'm like, I just feel like they've been making every opportunity to make Callie look like, not incompetent, but like multiple times in these trauma situations, they're like, Callie, take a back seat. We'll need you when it's no longer a trauma. And I'm like, guys, why even call her? Why do we even bring her in the room? She could be out saving different lives, fixing more of Jackson's mistakes, please.
Yeah. I mean, in this one, they really have like the one moment where her and Richard disagree. And then there's obviously hostility with like her and Teddy and Owen for no reason later on. But it's like what's the end game? Like we all already love her. Like why are we trying to take that away?
Yeah. I'm concerned that they're getting ready to actually kill her and finish the job this time.
Oh.
She cheated death once, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that she could cheat it again. So
who's to say in Shondaland, really?
I guess that's
look
fair.
At Meredith.
That's fair.
So they have the Michael is in surgery and Warren is his anesthesiologist and his heart rate starts to spike and his temperature starts to spike. And they're like, why is this happening? And Warren immediately is like, we need to cool him down. It's malignant hyperthermia. And so they like cool the room down, get cooling blankets, get ice. It's like basically this is a teaching hospital, damn it. I actually looked this one up because I was like, what is this? Why does it have this name? It is essentially an allergic reaction to certain kinds of anesthesia. And it is hyperthermia. We are more familiar with hypothermia, which is when you get cold and your body slows down and you get cold. This is hyper. So the allergic reaction is your temperature is spiking. And your heart rate is spiking and all of your organs are going to fail because your body's going to cook them. So it happens quicker than hypothermia too. Hypothermia happens slower because it is a cooling process. Hyperthermia spikes quicker. And that's why Miranda even says later, it's typically caught too late. And so it was like a good catch on Ben's behalf. But so then Meredith, apparently this is a genetic condition. So Meredith runs to warn the other ORs. Luckily, they don't run into the issue. So good news. But
that was a really quick transition from like, I'm going to kind of flirt with you and check in on you with the whole, I'm going to give you some small talk. And then all of a sudden, bam, like this kid's burning up. He's going to die. We need ice. We need everything we can do. Throw it at him.
Yeah.
They seem to act really quickly, which I really like. One of the things that was crazy, I'm looking back at the notes. My notes kind of ended up being very sequential because things were happening so quickly.
There were a lot of cut to storylines in this episode.
Yeah. between them getting to the hospital and Michael being on the surgery bed, they also have a situation where Mark is like, hey, I gotta have my girlfriend come in and do this case. She can do the eye thing. She's mm-hmm. so great. And there was a scene that I like with Mark and Derek that's very funny, very best friend-y, where Derek implies that a girl who sleeps with Mark is an idiot. And yes. Mark
and
is like...
I literally wrote, Derek is a shitty best friend.
He is a shitty best friend. But it's I don't know that that is something that I would have... Well, I guess I don't know if I would have said that to my best friend. But I still would have made fun of him for something else. But he basically is implying, so because she's with me, she can't be smart and brilliant? And Derek's like, yeah. And Mark is like,
yeah,
well, what about your
implied.
Ex-wife?
Mark just says it. And he's like, yeah. Correct. I don't think anyone who sleeps with you would be smart.
And he goes, your ex-wife slept with me and she's brilliant. And I'm not trying to just start a fight. I'm just saying. Their friendship is just so funny to me. And especially now that they bring that like fourth wall level joke of them cheating like on that. And like, that's where the show started to where we are now. It's just funny. It's just comedic. It's just great writing.
I just hate Derek.
That's fair.
I just was like, that's shitty. That's mean. Why are you saying that? Like, why?
And then when she does finally get there, is Dr. Canner, right?
Yeah. Julia Canner.
Julia Canner. Canner. I barely know her.
All right.
When she nicknamed Lexi Fastball, I died laughing.
Funny.
Fastball here just updated me on the case.
Yeah.
My breast made a quick recovery. And yeah, the look on Mark's face when he goes, yo, it did. Just smiling gleefully. I'm dead. I'm deceased.
So, yes, they call her because they're trying to find someone, basically like someone who specializes in eyes. And that's apparently what she does. Mm-hmm. And Lexi's like, they've already called like three other people who can't get there. And Lexi's like, well, it'll take her so long to get here from Seattle Press. And Mark's like, good news. She's not at Seattle Press. She's in my bed, bitch.
5 minutes away.
Yeah. So, good stuff for them. And yes, in that surgery, it was too much eyes, too much eye shot.
Yeah, it was a lot.
They find like a bone fragment in the eye and pull that out. And then they pull the glass out. Oh my God. It was so prolonged. It was just, and they did it from the direct angle and then from the side view. I was like, this is too much. I don't like this in any way.
And they prolonged it because at one point, like, Derek is saying,
asshole.
Hey, you got to stop it there. You're blowing up this person's brain. And she's like,
you pushed
calm
it
down.
In further. And she goes, a little blood is natural. Yeah, no shit.
It's an eyeball, Derek.
She has a glass shard in her face. Calm your shit.
So all of that had happened before the malignant hyperthermia, which is crazy because that feels like a whole episode in itself.
Yeah, it's wild. And then to wrap up on that one, Julia, when she's done, she asks Lexi to come out with her so she can go over the post-op. And she's like, oh, she can watch TV, but she can't read a book for this many times. But she like needs to take it easy and like not do a lot of eye strain, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, oh my God, how did I do? I was like so worried. I can't believe I just operated with Mark and his best friend. Like Derek Shepherd is such like a good neurosurgeon, but he's also Mark's best friend. I was so nervous and I kept thinking about like when my coach said never look back and all this stuff. And she's like, was I good? And Lexi says, yeah, you were like, I never would have known you were nervous. And then she walks away and Lexi goes, damn it. Now I like her. I really like that moment.
That was just such a well-acted scene. And you can tell, so they're adding this extra layer with Lexi, obviously still in love with Mark in some capacity. Yeah. Mark is totally oblivious to it. And I also really liked, because there was like a double euphemism piece of the, when she's talking about the coach and she says, don't look back because if you do, they'll run you down. And there's... I think some of that going on in Lexi's head too, of like, don't look back, but also like, I want to, and like, I'm still in the Mark and I still want to be doing all these things. And I don't know. There's just a lot of different layers of that. And I thought that was a really poignant scene with also kind of a levity to it because Lexi's mm-hmm. like, oh, I'm rooting for her now. I like her.
Yeah.
There's a lot of very well acted scenes in this episode.
Agreed. Also, just a lot of upsetting scenes in this episode.
Yeah. Also, lots of sad.
So, yeah, they finish the dad surgery and he's stable-ish, but on life support. So I guess not really that stable. But he keeps coding. Like, they have to revive him so many times. Also,
and it's getting longer each time, she says.
To everyone's surgery, Meredith had sat with Lily and asked her, like, hey, do you happen to know, like, if your parents have, like, medical, like, power of attorney or, like, a living will or, like, what they want with life? Or who takes medication? And she's like, no, we're normal. We talk about normal things. And so this happens. And Lily's like, is this what you were talking about when you were talking about extraordinary measures? And she asks, like, what are you doing every time this happens? And Meredith kind of explains it to her. It's getting harder every time. His organs are starting to fail. It's bad news. And so Lily says, well, I don't want you to do it anymore. And Meredith's like, well, you can't decide that. And she's like, well, bet, because I turned 18 4 hours ago. It's my birthday and also the worst day of my entire life. So by all means, let me decide to pull the plug on my father also, because, I mean, I think she made the right call. But it's also horrendous that she had to do it at all.
On her birthday. This woman
18th
is going
birthday,
to,
by the way, going, like a pretty big
spend,
deal.
Yeah, the rest of her life, she's going to hate her birthday. This person will work on her birthday the rest of her life because she doesn't care. And she's going to say, Brenda, I do not want a cupcake for my birthday. Damn it.
She probably will not tell people it is her birthday. She'll lie and be like, oh, my birthday is a completely different time of year.
Yeah, they're going to lie, catch her in HR lying on her resume. Her application, her I-9.
Knew someone in college who had a twin sister who had passed away late, like they were in their 20s when the twin passed away, and she was like, I don't like my birthday anymore. And it kind of reminded me of that, just because it's like such like a, obviously it's like she didn't pass away on her birthday, but because like you share that with your twin, like it's obviously a bond that's like I can't even imagine. But
yeah,
it kind of reminded me of that, of just like something happening that changes the way you like view the entire just like concept of a day at all. So
yeah, I don't blame
them. Sad for Lily.
So when
before the dad, they pull the plug on the dad, she's asked Meredith to not tell the siblings about the mom, because she's like, I should be the one that tells them. And then she also has to tell them about the dad.
And poor grandma.
Yeah, Nana, everybody.
Yeah, it's pretty
bad
wild.
Day for that family.
I do like that Meredith is with her, and she does a really great job explaining this is what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
There's going to be an alarm that goes off, and I'm going to turn that alarm off because, as you can assume, as it is in the name, it is alarming. It's going to alarm you. So I'm going to turn that off for you. So, and when they pull him off the life support, he goes right away. Like,
It's not, because sometimes when you see it on medical shows, they'll say like, oh, it might be right away. It might take a while. Not for this guy.
Almost instant.
Yeah.
And then I actually wrote this quote down because it kind of stuck with me. And when what's the daughter's name?
Lily.
When Lily is like, is this it? And Meredith is like, yeah, this is it, sweetie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, my heart just
sank. The
delivery
of it. And then Meredith's like, oh, I'll go. And she's like, no, please stay with me. She's like, she doesn't have anyone else.
Yeah. Her brother had a car on top of him, and her sister had a glass
a mirror
shard
in
her
eye.
Mirror, mirror in my eye. Who
Please
does
do not,
not have...
make me die.
Yeah.
And it doesn't.
So
luckily.
Yeah, that was all pretty intense to watch. And a lot of those things happen very quickly. You don't get like a lot of lingering scenes on any one of them. Other than with, I think, yeah, Michael with his hyperthermia. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the sister, the other girl's name, but you get kind of that scene at Abby. The end where they're Abby. They're all just sitting there, and Abby's yeah. in poor Abby's in her wheelchair with an eye patch.
Yep.
Yeah, that's so sad.
Yeah. I didn't care for it. I was kind of like, this is one of those episodes that's like so well done and so good. It's very memorable, but I was like not super looking forward to it because I'm like, other than, again, we talked about it, the one good thing happening at the end, the whole episode is just like horrendous event after horrendous event. And it's just fucking brutal to watch and think about. Like, you and I are lucky we have not had to deal with losing parents. To lose a parent at all, I'm sure, is hard, but to lose a parent so young is really like, I mean, it just changes the whole trajectory of your life.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And also, like, obviously, the way they frame it, like, it's not like this person was sick and you kind of had time to, like, come to terms with it and spend this time together. Like, they frame it like she was pitching a fit. Essentially, she didn't want to go camping. And she was like, I can't believe you're making me go camping. And then, like, they all die. Like, the dad is in the trauma room saying, like, this is my fault. I hurt everyone in my family. And the girl's like, I was so mean. Like, ugh. Bleh.
Yeah, there's, when it's times like that, it sucks. It almost makes you like never want to get into a fight ever with anyone. Mm-hmm. It makes you never want to say anything mean to anyone. Never get a fight with your spouse. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Anything could happen at any time.
Well, I wasn't sure if you noticed that the mom's name was Jessica.
I don't think I noticed that.
Yeah, I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Jessica's gonna die. And I was like, I'm pretty sure the dad's name isn't Carmen.
We don't know for sure. I don't think that they never used his name.
I think it was like Dave.
Yeah, it might have been Dave. So,
but, yeah.
Yeah, it's, man, it's so sad. All of these are just things that you hope you're never a part of. And you hope that your kids never have to go through that. But I think it's important to talk about what you would want in those circumstances. Having a will is important.
Well, now it's also like easier to have it. Like, yeah, maybe your kid doesn't know, but it's easier to have it accessible.
Yeah.
To other people. Also, like, you think about this, like, in this scenario, they're painting it like basically only the grandmother would be the one that they would call with this information. We are lucky in that we have like more extended support systems. So the chance that like all of us and every single person we know who like had the answers to these questions or the ability to like help care for our children would have something happen is slim.
Right. Right.
But they do kind of paint it like it was essentially just the five of them and then the grandmother that kind of like had that family unit. So it does seem like it's now all falling on this daughter.
Yeah.
She says like, I'm the head of the family now. I'm like, oh
yeah.
Something you
it
shouldn't
sucks.
Have to be when you're 18.
No. The weird thing about growing up, and I'll kind of share this story, is I think we could probably talk about one other thing, or maybe we just talk about it all in the next episode. But my dad, in his older age, and there's a lot of family drama that's going on, like in life in general, but he was telling me this story the other day about how even I think he was 30, 31 when his dad died, 32 maybe, mm-hmm. of stroke. And he told me a story about how he was sitting with his brother at like a restaurant, just the two of them, or at a bar or something afterwards. And he's like, we just needed 10 years. We just needed 10 freaking more years with our dad. Like, this is too young. And then you turn around and you see something like this at 18. Yeah. And the two other kids are even younger. And this is like every day. This is the reality people go through.
Yeah. My mom's mom passed away. My mom was like 13.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's truly insane to think about, especially like there are different bonds that like parents have with each other. But like as a girl, you just go through so many things and like you need your mom for those things. Like, respectfully, a lot of dads aren't going to know. Like, even if they know the details, they're not going to like know the lived experience.
Yeah, I will never relate to Marlowe's first period. I will not.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just one of those things where, I mean, and yeah, it's not, unfortunately, it's not uncommon. I went to school with several people whose moms passed, like, while, or parents passed while we were in school together. It's just like, some of them, like, yes, some of them were sick. And so it was kind of one of those things where they knew it was coming. Again, I don't say that to, like, say that makes it easier. I just think there's a difference of the way you're, like, approaching it and the way you view it. Then when it's like a traumatic, like sudden, my mom's mom had like a very rare bone cancer. So she was sick for a little while. And then she passed away, but it's just kind of one of those things where you just look at it differently, I think.
Yeah.
And also everyone has like different views of death and like what it means to kind of move on past this world and whatnot. So, but yeah, this is just, it's such a traumatic way to lose essentially like three of the most important people in your life. You're there, this daughter saw all of them die and then had to like assume this role of in now being in charge of everything. So I don't know, it's just crazy and so sad. I'm like, why did you have to make it so sad, guys? Why did you do that, Shonda? Why did you do that, Stacy? Why?
Yeah, it's all sad. And what's crazy is, while all of this is going on, Alex is like trying to keep a baby alive too. Like, who is unrelated to everyone. And the mom is just somewhere off in the ether.
Yeah.
At a hospital that they have nothing to do.
Yeah.
So.
But we'll get back into that in the next episode after we start with everyone's favorite segment.